it's such a beautiful experience to see how the herbs can help to work on different levels.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare, both in person and through telemedicine. Learn more and schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org.
Hi, this is Leslie Fadima, the functional medicine nurse nutritionist from Hopkins Medical Group. In our last podcast, we introduced you to the concept of herbal medicine and that Dr. Steve Roberts will be doing herbal medicine consultations for our patients now here at Hopkins Medical Group. Today, we want to continue that conversation again with Dr. Roberts and his sister, renowned herbalist Sarah Wayland, who's joining us from London. In this episode, we want to teach you about flower essences and the energetic and spiritual nature of plants. While you might be able to easily relate to plants having active constituents or phytochemicals in them, such as the example we gave in the first podcast of meadowsweet having salicylic acid in it, which gives us aspirin, it may be harder to relate to plants having an energetic or spiritual nature. Yet these aspects do exist and are just as important part of the plant. Recently, I attended a program at the Boston School of Herbal Studies, and I thought maybe it would be helpful to start the podcast by sharing a little bit of that experience. I had the privilege of being at Sweet Autumn Farm in Carlisle, Mass., where the class was being held. This farm organically grows herbs, vegetables, and flowers, and really, to me, was the textbook picture of what a turn-of-the-century New England farm would look like, complete with dirt path road leading into the property, with a beautiful stone fence bordering the entrance, a large barn with a chicken coop and roosters crowing, and, of course, gardens of vegetables and flowers everywhere. We had the opportunity there to pick flowers and herbs to make different tinctures, teas, and flower essences. So you might be familiar with using herbs for tinctures or teas, but flower essences may not be so familiar to you. So at class on this farm, we made a flower essence from the echinacea plant. Most people know echinacea as an immune-building herb, so we thought going into the fall, this might be a good opportunity to make a tincture with something we could all use through the fall and winter season. So the way we did that was we just took some of the flowers at the very top of the stem of the plant. We put them in a bowl of water, spring water, with crystals, and we left them at the base of the plant in the sun for several hours. And that was the beginning of the process of creating a flower essence. That creates what's called a stock of water of the essence, which is then diluted with a preservative, and it's usually alcohol. In this case, we used brandy. So you can imagine it's probably pretty good tasting as well. So it was easier than I had imagined, and it really gave me a sense of how close we are to accessing the power of nature through creating things like flower essences that might just come from what we have growing in our gardens.
Leslie, you just hit on all the key points of things that I love about flower essences. It's something that works on a physical level, but it also works on an energetic level. So you're kind of addressing a more complete picture of nature, but also of us as human beings. So we're not only just focusing in on the complexity of our physical being, which of course, you know, humans are wonderfully complex that way, but we also have an energetic story. And these plants, flower essences, are really brilliant at working with some of these more subtle energies. So, and I've seen them do incredible things. So in my herbal medicine training, when I was first introduced to them was through the work of the Bach flower essences, Dr. Bach. So some of your listeners, or maybe you have been familiar with flower essences through that. And since then, there have been many, many different types of flower essences that have been created, and you can often find them in health food stores and things. So like the bush flower essences is another one that comes out of Australia. And it's almost like an infinite number of them now. I keep seeing different lines of them popping up. It's so beautiful because it carries the essence of the plants from that part of the world. And so something that Dr. Bach from my part of the world over here in the UK, something that he started to realize working with his patients was that sometimes what they need is actually more emotional support, or they need some work done or some rebalancing of their energetic system. And he just started noticing this. And I'm sure you've noticed this too, working with patients, that, you know, if we're only focusing on the physical aspects, then we're really missing a big part of a person's story and who they are and what they need in order to find balance. And so Dr. Bach was kind of a genius at this. It was kind of his gift to us as humanity to connect us in with this concept that you can go commune with the plant. And Leslie, you brought up how simple, how like beautifully simple working with herbs can be, including cooking with them in our, you know, like daily life, just bringing in herbs that, you know, many of us are very used to using, things like rosemary and basil and mint, these kinds of herbs. So we're making a flower essence is like connecting with them on an even deeper level. And so we can all be like Dr. Bach and go out into our, you know, gardens and into the countryside. I mean, Massachusetts has some really beautiful areas. I've been lucky enough to go visit many of them. And there's some amazing herbs in your neck of the woods.
And this personalized aspect of identifying what each unique individual might benefit from is really what inspired Dr. Hopkins and Dr. Roberts and myself to offer a more customized approach to using herbs as part of a patient's healing journey. And the way we're putting that into practice at Hopkins Medical Group is to now be offering, with Dr. Stephen Roberts, personalized herbal consults.
It's one of the things that I truly, truly love about this part of what we are offering to patients. And this is certainly something that I have learned as I've watched Sarah make her own patients their respective herb mixes when I've been over in the UK visiting her. When I get to select the herbs and I get to make up the blend myself, I'm thinking about that patient the whole time that I'm doing this, and thinking about how this herb mix is going to have the potential to help them. And there is an intention that actually goes into that whole process, where I am more connected to my patients. And when I contrast that to when I write a prescription and I send them out of the office, I don't see them again for weeks, they go to another place somewhere else where they meet with a pharmacist who doesn't know their history, who then goes off this shelf and picks up a medicine that's been made by some company way far away that hasn't really done this process of thinking about how is this going to help the person with each step that they've taken. They don't even know the person that it's going to be directed towards. I'm not saying that the medicines don't help, but what I'm saying is that the whole process is very disconnecting, where everyone along that step of the way is not connected to how this is supposed to help someone. And that's been a beautiful thing as I have been able to start doing this with my patients here. I've always tried to be as invested in my patients' health as I can, in terms of trying to get them relief, pain relief, or just to a better state of health than what they wanted. But this is opening up a whole nother level of capacity for me to even do that, to be invested in their health and to direct any positive thinking, positive energy towards their healing process.
It is something about herbs that it's very difficult to be disconnected from the process when you're working with herbs. In fact, it's almost the opposite, where you get more and more connected with nature, with the people that you're working with, and privileged enough to guide and watch them on their journey. It's such a beautiful experience to see how the herbs can help to work on different levels. So of course we have the physiological effects, and you know, those are really interesting. And you know, Steve and I love to talk about, you know, the sort of medical aspects of the herbs. But we also really enjoy discussing the energetics and the spiritual qualities of the herbs, and how that can also have really powerful influence on a person's, not only their physical health, but on their overall well-being and vitality. And you really miss a trick. If you are only working with herbs on that physical level, then you're really missing the wider experience. And so this is really exciting for me to see how your clinic is kind of blossoming into this working with herbs, because I think you'll start to notice, both you and the patients who are lucky enough to come through your clinic, I think you'll really start to feel just a little bit of a shift. And you'll kind of feel it more and more and more as you introduce and work with herbs more in your clinic. At least that was my experience, understanding that if I could open up to working with herbs on more than just the physical level. It's almost like going from black and white into color.
We're really grateful that you shared your experience, Leslie, with the herb class that you've been taking, which I'm excited to see where that goes for you in the future.
The other very interesting aspect that the herbalists, our instructors, were trying to get us to think about as we did our flower essences was that the plant is, as we spoke, has an energetic aspect to it. And part of that is based on the fact that the plant is a product of the sun, of exposure to the moon, of exposure to wind and air, and all these natural forces that we kind of take for granted that we just live with. But all those energies go into the growth of the plant. And the plant truly kind of survives, completely surrendered to nature.
So when we create flower essences, we are trying to capture the vibrational aspect of the plant. And that plant survived drawing upon the energies of the sun, the moon, and the earth, which came together to really give that plant life. Now that might sound too ethereal to say in a medical practice, but it was an interesting way to think about things on this beautiful farm in Carlisle while we were harvesting flowers and creating flower essences. So it prompted me to think about what it might mean for our own health and well-being when we take these essences into our own bodies.
There's a beautiful analogy between plants and people. It's not uncommon that the plants that we harvest, that the ones that you might find in the wild, or the ones that have kind of had to suffer through some hardship, like weather the elements, have different constituent levels, have different chemical profiles than the same exact plant that has been cultivated in a nice, safe environment. Because the chemicals that plants make, these constituents, they're actually made in response to stress. They both have a higher concentration of some of the same elements that help them to survive a hardship. But there's also, as you mentioned, that energetic component of they also gain some wisdom through hardship. The analogy here to people, this is actually a really wonderful thing from a healing point of view with patients. It's not uncommon that I have patients who come to me and say, I just want to go back to the way things were. And I just want to be healthy like I was back when I was younger. I can appreciate the sentiment. And it's not that I want them to suffer, but I think it would be a real shame if they actually missed the great lessons and experience, the silver lining that they can get from their disease and their experience of illness, and that they can actually understand that going through that process, they can come out of it on the other end transformed and actually wiser and better and have more empathy for others and a greater sense of understanding of what's important to them in their life and what to get out of it. And if you meet someone who's never had a hardship, who's never had to go through anything difficult in their life, you know, they might not have as much interesting to offer in their interaction and conversation with other people around them. This actually reminds me of a conversation I had with a patient recently about menopause, because this is something that I think is actually, the way it gets framed in the medical community, I actually think is not that healthy for us to think about it that way. In the medical community, we view menopause as, oh, this is this awful time period where all these symptoms come that are annoying, hot flashes, you know, insomnia, and it gets framed in a negative way, and it's just something we need to fix. So we need to try and give a medicine to address those symptoms. It gets framed negatively when people come to us in the medical office, and it doesn't have to be. You know, menopause is also a time period that could be easily celebrated for people, where it's not some flaw of, you know, being female, that it's almost like a graduation from, you know, the period where they were having menstrual cycles. And they are now entering into a phase of kind of like the wise woman tradition, where all of their experience that they have, that should be something that gets respected and honored. And I think we need to be a little careful about how we would approach that in the medical community, because we don't necessarily frame it in a way that I think is actually respectful of that stage of life. The patient actually said, I remember her saying to me, do you really think people think of it that way? And I told her, no, I don't think that our society necessarily does think of it that way, but it doesn't mean that we couldn't if we started shifting our thinking a little bit. You know, I actually had this conversation with her because of some stuff that you and I, Sarah, had been talking about when I was asking you about herbs that you use for people during this menopausal state of their life, and ones that might have like a liberating aspect to them that may have felt like their voice was suppressed earlier in their life. And through menopause, you can give some herbs that might help them, not just from the symptom point of view, annoying physical symptoms that they may have come to me for initially, but that are energetically and spiritually transformative and help them to really come into the power of being a woman, you know, with that stage of their life and having a greater sense of wisdom and place of respect in the elder community and a population.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing for all of us that are listening to this, how our society could evolve, and if we could all play a role in helping this story to be turned around, you know, in our Western culture, if we contrast it to more traditional cultures that have ceremony around these kinds of transitional times. And always with these ceremonies, herbs would be involved in that in some way. And so it's more of a time of celebration. And as Steve mentioned, it's kind of like coming into this really wisdom time of a woman's life. And I can tell you, and perhaps your patient if she's listening, there are absolutely pockets of places around the world where people are starting to wake up to that and sort of take their place as these wise women elders in their community, and including in Western communities. And so, you know, one of the things that I would maybe challenge all of us, me included, is to not be afraid to have these kinds of conversations. Because I think just talking about it is a very healing experience to just change the narrative around it. Like, yes, some of these symptoms can happen during menopause. I've heard people describe, for some women, it's actually like a sort of, maybe women that tend to be a little more on the cold side traditionally, and then all of a sudden these hot flashes come in. And for some women, you can choose to see that this as kind of a fun roller coaster ride almost experience. I do appreciate that for some people it's very debilitating. And of course, herbs are incredible at helping with balancing some of these roller coaster ride experiences with the symptoms through menopause, and also at other transitional times of life, both for men and for women. You know, I love working with herbs in that way. And it actually kind of goes along with the discussion that we had earlier about working not just on the physical level. So we're working on the physical, yes, we're working on hormone balancing and speaking with the endocrine system and kind of helping that to tone up. But we also are working with the energetics and spiritual components with the herbs when we're dealing with things like transitional periods. Yeah, I love that we're going there with this discussion, because I wasn't really thinking we were going to do that. But this is one of my favorite subjects, because I think herbs can be very empowering in this way. And so Leslie was talking about one of her realizations was, oh, wow, it's actually pretty easy to work with herbs on, you know, by yourself, even just to go pick some herbs and make certain preparations out of them. One of the things you can think about doing with herbs is including them in a ceremony or a ritual. And a ritual could be something as simple as you drink a cup of tea every day. And when you start your day with that cup of tea, whatever the plant is that you feel drawn to, if it's mint, if it's rose, if it's motherwort, whatever it is, that you're going to drink that tea every day. And that ritual is to celebrate you. So if we're talking about someone that's going through menopause, we celebrate all of the experiences that you've had in your life that brought you to this place of wisdom. And so then it starts to change the story and change the narrative around this whole experience of going through menopause. And it should be something that's celebrated. And so think about ways that you might be able to kind of change the story around it and add herbs to it, because herbs have this really amazing ability to support through these kinds of transition times.
Thank you, Dr. Stephen Roberts and Sarah Whalen, for another great conversation on herbal medicine.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor, share it with your friends and family, give us a bunch of stars, and write a review on this podcast channel. All those things help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare, both in person and through telemedicine. Learn more and schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. See you next time.